Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everybody. This is StarsCast. Of course, I'm known as Natalie, probably Natalie mostly. We have some kind of a show tonight. I'm very excited and very happy. We have Maya Moon with Stars James, and they're going to chat and talk about all kinds of sweet things, all that Maya does, all her areas of expertise. I think it's going to be really, really nice. I mean, the thing that I wrote here, I took from, if everybody could read it, I took from her profile, and then James was sweet enough to write a little beginning, and I think I did a pretty good job with it. So, anyways, I'm not going to take up much more of the time, but I'm very happy to have you here, Maya Moon. Of course, I love her very much. She knows that. And our James, our stars, James. And James, now you know I love you, and I'm going to let you just take it away because I've got callers that I have to get to.
Thank you. And I'm actually really excited, but it feels like a role reversal here because we have Stars Maya Moon on here. And Maya, I'll just refer to her as Maya for the show. Maya actually used to host this show for a long time when I first started. And so it's kind of like an interesting feeling for me to have this little bit of a role reversal. But I am very excited. This is a person that I respect. I really, when we were doing the show together, it was very, I just always respected what she had to say. And I learned so much from her, and it's really nice. She has a lot of obligations outside of the show, and so she couldn't, you know, continue with us on the show, but it is very exciting to at least have her for one night and have her share her insights about, you know, what she does and about spirit with us. So that's kind of the direction of the show. I really, in terms of the format, I really kind of wanted to, I think we'll do some question and answer discussion type of show here. I also, before we get started, though, I do want to recognize we have Stars Aeneas and Stars Priestess Candy in the chat room right now. I don't see anybody else, but I see those two. And my name is Stars James on the website, which is stars, www.starspsychics.com, and that's Stars with a Z. And, of course, Stars Maya, which will be co-hosting the show with me today as a special guest. And so I just want to first say, you know, welcome. Thank you for coming into the show, or coming onto the show with me again. And it's kind of like old times, and I'm really excited about that. And I've been looking forward to this all week. So I think I'm just going to start out is, you know, if you would just share with us a little bit about just your background, like, what, you know, where you came from. I mean, I've heard your history before, but there's probably a lot of listeners out there that would be interested in, you know, what got you into even the whole psychic industry or channeling spirit, whatever you want to refer to as that, like, what brought you here?
Okay, well, and I want to say welcome to all the listeners, and welcome, you know, hello to you, James. I've missed you. For those listeners that have been with us for a long time, hopefully you do recognize me, Maya. And, yes, I unfortunately had some conflicts, and so I had to step down for a while, and I'm really glad to be back this evening, and I feel the same about James. I really need to say that. We always resonated very well with each other, and I feel like it was a mutual, reciprocal relationship. We both kind of learned, and I know there was many times where I had, you know, I would be thinking in one direction, and I would hear from James, and my mind would be opened a little bit. And, you know, that's one thing about our life paths. I don't care if we're experts or psychics or teachers or philosophers or vice presidents, we're always learning. And as far as where I started, some of what, you know, is told to me, you know, I don't have memories from when I was, for example, two. But one of the interesting things about me that I've always found kind of interesting, and a lot of people are very, you know, get very surprised, is that I was raised in Southern Kentucky, and my family were all devout Southern Baptists. In fact, my father, we did lose him. He passed away when I was young, but he was a Southern Baptist minister. And so you would think right off the top there, because I continue that religion. I consider spirituality my first essence or energy, and religion my second, if you will. But that how I began is my earliest memories are what I would call my angels. And I just remember having this, always having this connection and feeling that it was never anything negative. It was never like I never really, as a young child, saw things like people talk about ghosts and the paranormal. It was more of dreams and this vibrational feeling, and this I felt like I was being groomed, if you will, taught to do something. And now you have to remember, I was born in 1958. And so back then, my father is a Baptist minister. He started out in a very small church. We had a little wood heater and an old piano. And so it was, when I look back on it now, I think, gosh, it was like the dinosaur ages. But at that time, there were, you know, I don't remember us having a phone back then. And it was very close-knit. And one of the things, or some of the things that began to occur within my home, and it was myself, my mother, my father, and I have a younger brother, is that I would say to my father, Daddy, you better put on coffee, Brother Smith. And that was a term that we used as Baptists when we were referring, if it was not a reverend, we didn't say elder. I was taught to say brother to a man as a term of respect. I would say Brother Smith's coming by. And, you know, my father got to the point where it didn't take him very long to where the coffee was on. And there was a few times where people got some chuckles because it was a small church, very close-knit group. But I blurted out, being a young child, at this age, my memories, I was about, you know, 5, 6, maybe 4. And I would blurt things out when, let's say, Mr. Jones came to church and wasn't looking too good. And I would shake my finger and I would say, you were drinking that stuff, Mr. Jones, or Brother Jones. And my parents were absolutely mortified, and Mr. Jones certainly was. But the one thing that I would love to give credit to is my father. I honor him so much because, having come from such a very, for those that aren't aware of the Southern Baptist religion, it is a very narrow-minded religion. It really is. And I don't follow that tradition. I follow that religion to a point, but they're very narrow-minded. And I was encouraged. I had a lot of major visions, and I shared those not just with my father, but with his mentor as well. And after talking with me, this was the age about 7, the older pastor, the mentor, said, I'm not really sure how to explain what your daughter, speaking about me, has. He said, the only thing I can tell you is all I feel is goodness and light, and I feel that it is something that God has chosen for her path. And so that's how it started for me. So from that point, I was very fortunate that I was not criticized, ridiculed, taught that, oh, that's evil. Because, you know, traditionally, at least when I was growing up, I mean, we didn't even listen to music. That was considered a no-no, listening to music. So to have a child that was talking about, well, the angels told me this, and my father passed away in a car accident, and he was on a mission with another man that was going through a very difficult period. And when he left, we were all saying goodbye, and I said, "Bye, Daddy. I'll see you in heaven." And my mom was just beside herself. She said, "Why did you say that? What did you mean by that?" And I couldn't explain. And I got very scared as a young child. I thought I've done a bad thing, which is a lot of times why children that are very gifted get stopped in their tracks, because society or parents, you know, question them. And I did not explain. I was not able to explain. But he did pass away on his way home, just about a mile from home, in an auto accident. Somehow I knew that, obviously. And from there, you know, my gifts kind of, they were always there. I wasn't always taking advantage of them or using them. But from the time I was about 16 or 17 is when I really became aware of the depth of the gifts and what I think the meaning of them. And that's when I began my lifelong journey, which I still feel that I'm on. And I began to research. I did classes. I also did some traditional college. I studied. I learned. I just did everything possible. And I just felt always that it had been my calling to be a spiritual advisor, a medium, guidance, whatever term you want to use. So that's kind of my background. That's how I started my earliest memories. You know, in looking back now at my age, I believe that I was communicating pretty much with my guides, but I saw them in an angelic form, and I think that was just the way that they presented to me in order not to frighten me or for me to have maybe a more positive view of them. So that's kind of how it all started for me, and then I really got very serious in doing this. I often had to supplement my income. I no longer do that. This is all I do, is work with clients. But up until about 19, probably 80 or so, about 1980 or so, I was able to do that, do spiritual work and rely on that only. And that was my calling. And I love what I do. I feel that today it's still my calling. And so I'm not sure where you want to go from there, James, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I like it. Well, one thing that really stood out in what you were talking about, it's such a blessing that your father had a mentor like that, that would say, you know, I experience what she's saying, I'm experiencing goodness and light, or I'm experiencing, really what he was saying there is, I'm experiencing spirit. So this is inspired, or this is in spirit, and that's the source in which she's communicating. And that's a really good observation, especially in that tradition. I mean, I was personally from a different tradition. I was from a Nazarene tradition, and then I was Pentecostal, and then I actually did go into the Southern Baptist tradition for a moment. And I mean, that to have that kind of ability in that type of culture to recognize the voice of the spirit, because one thing that I've noticed in a lot of religious cultures is that in the context of religious culture, sometimes hearing the voice of God is not a good thing. It's kind of like what I call the Nicene Creed effect, where people are like, okay, the book's been written and God stopped talking. And the reality is spirit never stopped talking. The angels never stopped interacting with humanity from the time of, you know, the Council of Nicaea onward. It's that a lot of our perception is that, you know, it doesn't happen anymore. And so that's a really good perception, because that's what I feel. Anyone who's channeling spirit or angels, or, you know, that message, that's what it brings. It brings people to a higher consciousness of God, and in which I believe, you know, I know we have similar beliefs in this, but that's what I believe is the atonement. The atonement is being able to be connected to spirit and all that, you know, spirit, I use that as a term, the Holy Spirit or spirit. I personally feel like that is the all-encompassing term of the divine matrix. And then through that, spirit communicates with us. And you tell me if you agree with this or not after I'm done. But, you know, to me, spirit is like, capital S spirit is all of the divine matrix. And then there are many ways that spirit communicates through that divine matrix to us, whether it's through the angelic, through spirit guides, through Jesus, or even just messages, you know, channeling messages specifically from that matrix itself. But that is really what I feel is the intention of this type of a gift, is to bring that higher level of consciousness to other individuals and really invite them into what Jesus calls the atonement. Invite them into this availability of spirit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I want to go back because I like the way that you phrased it. When we talked about how that was a very pivotal moment for me. And I think it's very important to recognize that had that older preacher, had he come with a different outcome or a different sense, I think that my entire life could have changed. So
right.
So that was a pivotal moment. And, you know, it just was... It couldn't have served me any better. And, of course, my father then allowed me to express my gifts. I was never stopped. But, yes, I recognize God as the creator of all, but I recognize the spirit, if you want to call it Holy Spirit, or spirit divine, as the connection that connects us all together. And I believe that is alive. And that it's constant, and what you said about the angels, I agree with that as well, that there's constant communication. Now, not all of us as humans are perhaps aware, just like not everyone can draw and sketch, not everyone can play the piano, not everyone can sing and tap dance. We're all different with our gifts and abilities. So I do feel that there's some of us that are more attuned or we have a higher ascension, if you want to call it that. But, yes, I definitely feel that spirit or the Holy Spirit, however you want to word that, that is the kind of like I see it as a grid, and that's the, like the main plug-in. So that's the main
right.
source of the energy, and we all plug in from that point. And we're all interconnected. And when we talk about, you know, channeling, I think there's all different ways of channeling, but I really feel that humans, even those that aren't aware consciously, at some level in most times of their life, they are, and we'll see if you agree with that, but they are channeling at some point. They're channeling that energy, even if they're not aware of it, or they don't recognize spirituality as something significant, or if they don't recognize a religion either. And I think the two can be separate. I think you can have one without the other. Although I take that back. I think that we're all spiritual beings and we can't exist without that, even if we don't acknowledge that we have it. Did that make sense?
That makes sense to me, yeah. It's funny because that's usually what I say. Does that make sense to you? Because if it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't make sense to anybody else. But no, that definitely makes sense. And what I really liked when you were talking about people channeling spirit energy is, I mean, like this is kind of my perspective on it. You know, since we're kind of getting right into the whole channeling dynamic of what we do, is to me, channeling simply means in spirit or inspired. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be words that change a particular person's situation, or, you know, words that are inspired, or the spirit's perspective on like a relationship, which is a lot of, it seems like a lot of what we do now. But, you know, the intriguing thing about me is, or about what I feel, you know, channeling is, you know, I would consider Mozart a very talented channeler of spirit, channeling inspired content, but not necessarily the same way that we do, or anything else. And so when I say that personally, when I feel like it's an invitation, I always feel like the invitation of spirit is available. And so, and I always look at where is that invitation for my client in whatever situation they're in. And I mean, that's my biggest question. Yes, most people call, wanting to, what does the future look like? And I go, well, okay, we can certainly look at that, but we have really two futures that we can achieve. We can have the in spirit or inspired future, or we can have the future that is, you know, in opposition, or I don't like the term opposition, but is not in that atonement, you know, kind of like that language that I was just using, that atonement type language where inspired to change the consciousness in that experience, so that the experience itself or the outcome itself is different because they've encountered me. Okay, so that was a lot of content. Did that make sense to you?
Yeah.
We'll keep throwing it back that way.
Yeah. we can do this all night. We can, and if it doesn't, then we'll just have to figure it out until it does.
Right.
No, it does. And I agree. And I may have some varying views a little bit on channeling, but when it comes to clients, I very much support that theory. If a client comes to me and says, I want to know this and this and this, I will respond with, you know, I'm happy to supply what information is available or shown to me, but what I would consider that attunement or that alignment or that divine connection. I mean, I think there's a lot of interchangeable terms, but we're basically expressing the same idea or thought or connection. As I say to them, what do you see and what do you want? Because I feel that what our true path is that which we desire. And
right.
Of course, when I say that, I mean doing no harm, of course. You know, if somebody said, well, it's my desire to, you know, go to war and something, you know, crazy like that, I wouldn't say, okay, well, let's see how we can get you some swords and knives and guns. But, I mean, that's somebody that's probably not very well.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, though, that's I like to redirect my clients, because for somebody just to say, like, often a lot of times I'm questioned about soulmates, I'm sure you are too, and
oh,
future
sure.
love, and that's an important aspect, and
mm-hmm.
I can relate to people wanting to find that, but what I try to get across to them is, instead of, okay, October the 2nd, he's got brown hair and blue eyes, or she's got, you know, black hair and black eyes, it's more of an energy. What is your energy right now? Are you projecting? Are you manifesting? Are you putting out? And if so, then you're going to attract it. And one of my favorite things to say is, get off the clock. Stop
mm-hmm.
watching the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, and feel strongly that as humans, we have come so dependent on this time in this physical world that we let it overtake, you know, the outcome. Does it really matter if someone who is going to be a significant person in your life, does it matter if it's February or April? I mean, have you ever had the client where they say, oh, I've been alone, you know, when am I going to meet someone? And so, you know, you do your little thing and you try to maybe get them to see that connection a little bit broader. And
mm-hmm.
they still want an answer, and so we do provide that. That is a service, you know, we're willing to provide. And you'll give them something like, you'll say, well, I feel like it's going to be March or April, and they get upset. That long? I have to wait
right.
another 4 months?
Right.
And how do you deal when, like with that, you know, I just have to take a deep breath and say, you know, okay, well, when the time comes, the past will disappear. It will
right.
fade.
Right. Yeah, well,
so,
what people, I think one of the things that people don't understand about that is that time is, you know, It's moving right now. So don't worry. It really is moving right now. And if you have to wait 4 months for this relationship, it means that you have something to do between now and then. You know, like there is something that needs to happen between now and then that will set you up. So, I mean, you have to look at it from that perspective too. And are you really even, a lot of times, I mean, and we're kind of getting into more specifics with the type of readings that we do, but a lot of times I find with people that, you know, they're not ready for a relationship. They would immediately destroy the relationship if it were to come to them tomorrow. Their neediness would probably destroy it, and I like, one thing that I really liked what you had to say. You said that we are here to achieve that which we desire. And I really like that because I believe that is fundamentally true. It is that we have these desires. We are an intention of the Spirit. We're an intention of God in a physical place that has this thing called time that we walk through. And every single desire that we have, and I know I'm going to get a lot of people really disagreeing with me on this one, but every single desire that we have really is supposed to be met. The problem is we oftentimes misappropriate that desire and we think that we need to fill it as opposed to just allowing ourselves to walk through this space and time that we're in and dealing with what's in front of us. We're kind of looking, and it's kind of a little bit of a dichotomy here because we're talking about, yes, this is the service we offer. We talk about the future, and that is true. However, it's also like a calling back to, you know, you also need to deal with what's going on right now. Yes, it's 4 months away, but, you know, there's a whole bunch that's going to happen between now and then. And are you just going to be continually concerned with that, what's going to happen 4 months away from now? Because if that's the case, you're probably not going to be ready then either, you know?
I agree. That's right. And that energy, and I try continually to point out to clients, what is your energy like? Because I feel that life is abundance, and mm-hmm. whatever it is that we desire can be ours. Now, I think some people take that a little bit too literal, and they say, okay, like the Janis Joplin song, you know, about the Mercedes-Benz. So if I sit and think real, real hard, I'm going to get a Mercedes. Well, I wouldn't say that it works quite like that. But in general, you know, we can achieve whatever we put our minds to. But like what you're saying, if I'm following you correctly, is we often, as the human side of us, you know, interferes with that spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we end up sabotaging or we get stuck in a rut, whether it's a job or a relationship that we know is not the potential or the desire that we wish to achieve. And then we say, why are we unhappy?
Right. Well, and it's that constant need for fulfillment. When, you know, and this is a perception of my own, is that when I can just be present with what is, I have a lot more power in terms of my desire. And it's interesting because desires that I didn't even know were there are actually fulfilled when I'm present. And, you know, like I'll walk outside and I'll look around and I'll go, wow, God painted a really beautiful picture in the sky today. You know, and it's like that fulfilled a fundamental desire that I didn't even know that I had. And, you know, and I'm speaking from a place where I've been out, you know, I've been that person that didn't have the fulfilling relationship. And I've been, and the reality is you have to be with what you have now. And you have to be willing, if you're in a relationship that's not fulfilling or you're not in a relationship at all, those are two different dynamics there. So oftentimes, if you're in a relationship that's not fulfilling, you need to assess why. And, you know, you can't just keep going through the motions of it's going to get better someday if you're not willing to do anything to make it better. Another thing, too, that I really feel Spirit has told me, and we're kind of getting right on the subject of relationships, which is interesting. I think that's probably because that's mostly what we talk about, you know, when people call us. But the interesting thing.
James?
What's that?
I said, oh, you think, James?
It's just on everybody's mind. It's just on everybody's mind. But anyway, well, one of the things that I have noticed that Spirit is constantly reminding people of is you can't expect to get something you're not going to give yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
Right. And it's, you know, I find that a lot of times clients are just, they have this neediness aspect to them. And they, oh, I just need this, I need this, I need this. And it's like, well, wait a minute, what do you need? Well, I need somebody to give and give and give. It's like, wait a minute, you have this backwards. You can't expect somebody to give and give and give if you're not in a position or a state of mind that you're willing to give and give and give. And you can't ever expect to get something you're not willing to give in the first place. And I think that that's one of the most consistent messages in terms of relationship, and maybe there's somebody out there that we're talking to right now, but that's the one thing that I have heard consistently from Spirit is that if you're not willing to give it, don't expect it in return. This is a reciprocal universe, meaning you get back what you give out, and if you're giving out neediness, I need you to give me, I need you to give this to me, I need you to give this to me, you can't ever expect it back. So what do you think about that? I don't know. That is
so spot on. And that is, I feel like that is part of universal law, which I am very, you know, I always refer to my guides, and, you know, that's just the way that I think it's more of the language that I speak as opposed to being this, people often ask me, okay, so are there three, like, Indian guys around you or, you know, what, you know, is one a pope or whatever. It's not like that, but that's just, the frame of reference that I use that I've become accustomed to, and it feels comfortable for me.
Right.
But absolutely. I in fact, I have a client, and, you know, of course, the person's going to remain anonymous, but it's a shining example. Working through a relationship, a breakup, and then reunited, and as they're working through, you know, there's fear, which fear is one of humanity's biggest obstacles and one of the biggest destroyers of lives, I feel, because fear is so against spirituality. We cannot fear and believe at the same time. It's
right.
Impossible. Those two do, it's like oil and water. So this person, okay, is wanting the other person to show trust and to show faith and to do all these things to show that there's a future. And I said, okay, what makes you think that they should do what you yourself are not willing to do? And the other thing is, I get so much, and I would say more from females, but not you know, not always, but more from females who say, oh, you know, they're distrustful of men, or, you know, they're this and that. And I tell them, no, you're distrustful of yourself. Very few times does someone really and truly come in your life and just absolutely pull the wool over your eyes. You closed your eyes because you didn't want to wake up from the dream. So you've lost your trust in yourself. And you're right, James, we have to set that example first. For those that are parents, they may be able to identify in that respect. I know a lot are not parents, so that doesn't work for them. But if you're an animal owner, then you know that you have to set an example. I mean, that's kind of funny. I raise dogs, so I relate everything to the animal kingdom. I really feel we can learn a lot. And I teach,
absolutely.
You know, like I try to explain to my clients, have you ever been to a friend's house where you walked in and the dog was friendly and came up to you, and at first you're like, oh, the dog's so cute, look, it wants to be with me. And like an hour after you're there, you're gritting under your teeth, get out of here, get out, go on, leave me alone, because the dog will not leave you alone. Is that attractive? Does that make you feel wanted and desired and special, or do you feel like kicking its teeth in? I mean, believe me, I would never abuse an animal, so I'm not being literal. But that's another thing that people do. They want something, but they come on so strong. The male energy is, you know, strong and on the one sense, a very different. But the females come out with this desperate clinging. Do you want a long term, or, you know, blah 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 blah. So yes, it's all in what we project. It's all in, we have to be what we want. And you're right. We're not going to attract, there's no way that as humans, I don't care what your sexual orientation is or what your gender is or if you're a transgender, none of that really matters. If you are not comfortable with yourself and you don't trust and love yourself and you haven't given to yourself and you're not okay with spending time with yourself, you're not going to be in a place to attract someone that's going to be of a beneficial, where it's going to be a mutual beneficial relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. You have to be able to give it. And you know, I can tell you, just from the male perspective of it, is ladies, I don't know a single guy out there that finds neediness attractive.
No.
And it's just because it's not an attractive quality, and I think it's important for people to understand that. So, I mean, we touched a little bit on relationships. I think that's, and it is, and I feel like it is key because I do feel like there is a need for a shift in how we deal with our relationships, not just romantically, but you know, I'm talking about do you love the person who's next to you? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love when you go to the grocery store? What is on your mind? Are you you know, frustrated and thinking about, you know, what you need to get done for that day, or are you thinking, oh, I'm just so lonely? I mean, one of my mentors told me, there are 6 billion people on the planet. If you tell me that you're lonely again, I am going to go find you someone. You know, it's like there's no reason to be lonely. There's no reason to be lonely. There's plenty of people on this planet. But
unless you're choosing that, right?
Yes, you are choosing that. Because I can tell you, I meet more friendly people at the groceries. In fact, it's funny because everywhere that I go, I meet people and I have conversations and I enjoy them. And my fiance often tells me that everybody loves you. And I was like, well, that's true, but you want to know what's going on in my mind is I love them. I'm constantly putting myself in that frame where I'm not perfect at this. I don't do this perfectly, but that is one of my intentions, and I believe that is one of the purest forms of channeling spirit, is when we can just love each other. And I'm talking about, you know, and if you can't find some level of human connection when you go to the grocery store, don't ever expect to find that same level. Don't expect to find it in an intimate relationship, because that is, I mean, that's like the difference between kindergarten and college. You know, it's the difference between, you know, kindergarten and university. And, you know, if you're not at the kindergarten level, if you can't maintain at the kindergarten level, don't, and I'm not saying that you can't have a relationship, because there's plenty of dysfunctional relationships out there. But, you know, so you can find somebody that's just as dysfunctional as you, and you guys can live out your dysfunction together and you know, claim to be happy, but I can guarantee you're not, because half of you I talk to as clients. But, you know, I think that that's another important dynamic as well, is like, you have to be, you have to claim responsibility for what you do have. And if you're constantly saying, I'm lonely, there's no reason to ever be in that place. I mean, there's, you know, go to the grocery store, go smile at somebody. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, be best friends with them, but at least be kind. And if you're finding yourself frustrated at the grocery store because you're stuck in line with, you know, 8 different people, ask why. I mean, just ask yourself, hey, why am I here? Is there something I'm supposed to do? Is there, and see what happens, because you might be surprised. You might be surprised. There were 2 things that I really wanted to, I want to kind of shift a little bit from this relationship dynamic. I did want to talk to you about guides and angels, because those are 2 things that you mentioned, and they are very important, at least to my understanding of spirit. They're very important in terms of part of how we communicate spirit and how we channel. So can you give us a little insight on, you know, what are angels and guides, and how do, you know, how, and I know this is a pretty heavy question, I know you can't give us a really deep answer, but how do you work with them? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, okay, well, for me, and again, this is just me personally, I would never try to speak for anyone else and how they work or what their philosophy or ideology or connection is. For me, what I call my guides, and what they do is, I don't hear them, meaning like I hear you talking, but they show me images, and over the years, I have a collection of symbols like calendars or holding a baby, the images. And so what they are, I feel they are my spiritual teachers and mentors, and they often teach me things about life, impart wisdom, and I feel that that comes from the divine. So that is a divine spiritual connection. To me, I recognize a difference between what I consider my guides. And again, these are, they pass on to me the messages. So, for example, if I'm doing a reading or some, I write the blog every day, and most of the blog comes from what my guides kind of tell me. Now, I don't go into a trance-like state. I wouldn't take it that far, but it's information, and oftentimes just as I'm falling asleep or if I'm kind of catnapping, I'm shown this panoramic vision, and it's like this fast movie that I go through, and evidently I only retain what parts of it are important, and then it will come back. So that, mm-hmm. to me, is my guides. I feel that I have three that are very essential to my spiritual development and my ability to communicate and help others, and they impart to me information about that person. And I, first of all, because I am a religious person and I do believe in God, I think that there can be a contradiction. So first, I want to say, too, that there's many prophets in the Bible, just kind of to validate myself here a little bit. And the other thing is that my guides will often share information in the beginning with the client, and they'll say, oh, my gosh, how did you know that? It's not to wow or impress. It's not done in any type of to appear godlike. It's to establish trust.
Right.
So that if the client says, well, how would she have known this about me? Then they're going to trust my advice. And I feel that my advice and my guidance and wisdom comes from my guides. It's not my personal opinion. I'm not saying, well, you know, when I was married, my husband did this, and this is how I handled it. That's how I might talk with a friend. And as far as angels, I feel that angels are more ethereal, and they're more ones that will kind of, I see them as like some people might see a fairy. To me, angels float in, and they're given special permission at times to intervene. Like when you hear about, you know, I've written about 9/11, and we always hear the bad side, but we don't hear the stories about the divine interventions and the miracles that occurred, or the person that said, I was about to veer off the cliff, and I just saw this white something, and something took the wheel from, you know, out of my hands and straightened the car, and we should have died, and we didn't. So that, to me, angels play a little bit different role. I feel like they're here briefly, and they interact with us, but it's on a very brief, you know, come-and-go type of situation. That's how I see it. Where my guides, I feel like they're constantly with me. They're constantly a part of what I do spiritually. And as far as names go, I think that's a human need. I really don't think they care if we call them Betty, Bob, or Sue. That means nothing to them. It's more our need to have a name if we have a name. So what about you, James? How do you see that?
I think we do our readings a little different, which is, you know, that happens. We all are intuitive differently. I do work. I mean, like I do. I pretty much. I mean, I feel like I channel from the Matrix. I mean, that's really what I've always felt is like. What happens with me is, you know, sometimes I'll get pictures and sometimes not, but most of the time what happens is I will just start talking, and then I will start feeling the spirit, or I'll start feeling the presence, and you know, sometimes it is given a name, sometimes not. Most often than not, because of my tradition, it's Jesus. It's just, you know, that's my, if I were to just say my spirit guide is, I mean, that's probably what I would say. So But you know, I try not to label it too much unless I feel that there's a necessity for somebody that I'm talking to. Because to me, spirit is spirit. You know, there's a oneness factor in the way that I personally view things. There was one, you know, and we deviated from the topic. Now we're going. Oh, I wanted to mention angels too. I actually work with angels. I ask for angelic intervention in a lot of situations that are oftentimes very difficult. I believe that angels are messengers of healing and miracles. They're like God's, you know, that's really what they do. So, and then I kind of want to go back to this. There was one comment that I found very intriguing in the chat, and I kind of wanted to address that. So let me see if I can find it again. Because it was about the relationship topic, but I really feel like we may have even answered.
While you're finding that, I just want to say that I think that my relationship with my guides is actually really the same, James, as what you're experiencing. It's just that when I began doing this, I needed a way to take my ego and myself out of it so that I could keep my fear or my doubts, and so I use the guides as a way for me to overcome that, and so it's just become kind of my comfort zone. But I don't feel that they're necessarily three separate beings in the way that it may sound like I'm portraying them. I feel that they are just, it's the same. I'm plugging into divine, really, is
well,
how
the interesting
I see
thing,
it.
What- Yeah, one of my absolutely, I agree with that. One of my mentors once told me that, you know, we were sitting in an environment where there were a lot of different, they were differing opinions on the same topic, but they were not really even differing opinions because she recognized something that was really intriguing to me. She said that everyone here has said the exact same thing, just in a different way.
Exactly.
When I heard that, it just struck me, and I was like, that is absolute. I knew it was true because I listened to all, you know, and I actually wasn't one of the people speaking at the time. And I listened to what everybody had to say, and all of them had really good points. And when I thought about that, I was like, wow, they really did. They were all talking, they were all saying the same thing, but in a way that different individuals could understand. And that's what's so intriguing about the way that spirit works, is spirit works in the language that we understand. And sometimes people, you know, they need, you know, and like you said, it's to get your ego out of it. I mean, you know, we need that too. I mean, that's an equal part of us being able to surrender, is that we have to surrender sometimes to things that seem illogical, because what we're surrendering to is the divine matrix or the Holy Spirit or God himself, you know. And so I think that is a very important quality. I wanted to mention just relationship-wise, someone had made this topic this comment in the radio show or the chat room, I'm sorry.
Chat room.
And I wanted to read it. It says, typical abusers who need to control someone will prey on neediness. And I'm going to give my perspective on that, and then I would like you to elaborate and disagree or agree or whatever. My perspective on that is abusers will find needy people, and needy people will find abusers, because they kind of go hand in hand. I feel like that's really the attraction factor there. And once someone is willing to recognize their own neediness, they will not be abused anymore. I don't condone abuse. I think it's I think it's horrendous, some of the things that happen in this world in terms of the family dynamic. However, we must understand that it does, you know, unless we're talking about a child, if we're talking about two consenting adults, they are both contributing to a situation. There's no such thing as just one person unless that other person's in chains. You know, and that's a totally different scenario. What would you say to that?
Well, I would go back to the animal kingdom, and I would agree with you, and I would say that it's predatory behavior and it's prey, and I believe that's a choice that we make. It's not just a predator, and you know, barring circumstances where someone's, like you said, I mean, obviously we're not talking about a kidnapped victim that's chained to the wall. We're talking about, as James pointed out appropriately, two consenting adults. I don't buy into the victim because that's a choice.
Right.
You are making a choice, and every victim I have found has a part of martyrdom in them, and so they want to be a victim because they need to be miserable or because they fear being on their own or they fear elevating themselves to a higher vibration. So I don't really, it's not that I don't empathize and want to help them to break that cycle, because I do, but I don't sympathize with them and say, oh, you poor thing, he did that to you again and again and again and again. I say, get out, buck
yeah.
up. And
right.
So, yes, it's all. There's always something, no matter what that person that is playing the victim or that is, you know, the prey, that's nature's way. And, mm-hmm. you know, if we watch the lion, the lion's going to attack the weakest, and that's the way life is. And we are instinctual beings as well as spiritual beings. So if you're in an abusive relationship, whether it's emotional or you're in any type of relationship where you're constantly being oppressed, know that there is something inside of you, a need that you're not yet able to come to terms with, and maybe you need to come to Star Psychics and get a reading and find out what the heck is wrong.
I totally agree too. And it's not that we, and I really want to, because there's one thing that comment in that comment that I wanted to address is it's not because we don't care, because I can tell you that, you know, I know Maya and I personally, like she said, we empathize. We do empathize. We do. We have been in situations, well, at least I can only speak for myself on this one. I have been in situations where I was in insanity and not in spirit. And in those situations, I have made those same choices to be in an environment that was not conducive to my well-being. And so therefore, I was the one allowing that to take place. And I had to come to a different perspective to change it myself. I mean, if you have two legs, walk out the door. Well, I don't have any place to go. Well, go find one. You know, go make a step, do something, because you're the only one. I mean, you can talk to psychics all day, every day. And if you're not willing to do something about your situation, then you're going to be in that situation forever. You know, it's like that old adage that, you know, 50 years from now, or 20 years from now, I'm going to be exactly the same I am right now, except for 20 years experience. You know, that's so true. We have to recognize that, you know, especially in abusive situations, is that, you know what, the abuser is probably not going to change. Maybe something will happen, but you have to recognize that you're the only one that can change your situation. You can't wait for somebody else to change, because they won't. They just won't. And it doesn't mean we don't give grace to people. This is, we're getting into the relationship again. We give grace to people on you know, habits that maybe we don't necessarily like that they do in terms of relationships. Like, you know, it's funny when I see all these dating websites and I don't ever see any, you know, check mark, I am willing to let him leave his underwear on the floor. I've never seen that, ever. But that's a reality of a situation. And you have to understand that is a reality of a situation as well, that we accept positive and negative, but we don't accept things that destroy our connection to really ourselves and our ability to love ourselves,
right,
and our ability,
right,
to be inspired or in spirit, which is kind of what we've been talking about this whole night. And it's so funny, because I was not, my intention was not to talk about relationships very much, but it seems, I mean, I'm kind of getting a feeling that maybe there is somebody out there that really needs to hear this, and that's kind of why our conversation has deviated over to that. And again, Starsmaya made a very good point too. If you are in that position, or you are in a position where you do not feel comfortable in your relationship, or you're just not in a relationship. You want to find out when, why, how, whatever. You can definitely go to the site www.starspsychics.com, stars with a Z. Maya's on there. I'm on there. There's lots of people on there. You can read profiles and find somebody that you feel you resonate with and is suitable for your situation. So, let me look at my little list of what we were talking about here. Let me look at the time, too. Okay, 54. Oh, 54. You know what? I think that I'm going to go ahead and let you give us some sort of conclusion. I didn't realize we were getting so close to the hour. Before that, though, I would like to say I enjoyed. I know you have a lot going on in your situation, but if you ever feel like you want to come back, have a conversation. Heck, if you ever want to switch positions here and do the lead, I loved working with you. I did. I mean, I don't mind taking over at all. I'm kind of one of those people. I'll be anywhere. You know, where do you want me? You know, I'm there. I'll be whatever. But I just want to affirm that I so appreciate what you do and what you do in this world, not just you as us having a conversation, but what you do in this world. And I just wanted to make it officially say that to you, and that I love you and I appreciate what you do. And I'm going to go ahead and let you make a little conclusion here since we have 5 minutes left.
Okay, and thank you. And James, I feel the same. James is a very light-filled person, and I wish that I could say that every expert, and I'm not pointing fingers at one side or the other. I'm just saying in general, I wish that, you know, every expert, unfortunately, I don't think that every gifted person, there's a lot of people that have gifts that aren't so light-filled, but James is one of them, and it's been an absolute pleasure, and as always, it's been thought-provoking for me, and I hope that there's someone or more than someone out there listening that, you know, God or Spirit, Divine, led us to talk about this, to consider, and I want to just retract just for a moment and say that, no, I did not mean at all to, I have been in your shoes, believe me. Please don't forget that I, just like James, I'm a human being. I have made many, many mistakes. I've hopefully learned from those mistakes, but I have not, you know, I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I did not just, you know, walk through life with this, you know, yellow brick road and, you know, money flying from the sky. It, you know, this is a G-rated show, so heck to the no, is what I'll say to that. And for those of you that are a little hip, you know what that means. But no, I've had many, many struggles. In fact, maybe more so than other people because of my spiritual connection. So what I mean is I empathize with people and I want to guide them out of these dysfunctional or these, you know, ravaging relationships. But what my guides will not allow me, or my connection to Spirit, however you want to word it, it all goes to, like my Grandpa Henry used to say, honey, it all runs down the same place. And that's kind of how it is. I won't enable a client who is going to continue to make poor choices. I am in a contradiction with that. So in closing, I think this has been a great hour, a great topic. Those of you that are listening, I know that you may know James, many of you may, and those that don't, he is a very special, very gifted person who comes from a very true place, and that's a very hard thing to find in this world because this is a very difficult world, and it gets a little bit harder each day. So keeping that spiritual connection open to be able to help others is something that not very many people can manage well, and he does, and I have nothing but love and respect for him. And Miss Natalie, the same way. Without her, we wouldn't be here, and she's certainly of the light. So I thank her, and it's been a joy and a pleasure. I've missed everyone so much, and hopefully my schedule will revert back so that I can come back and be a part of the show. I've missed it tremendously, and especially being back on, it's a little emotional for me because I started the show. I was here from the very beginning, and I just had some things going on, and I just wasn't able to fulfill. And I'm the kind of person, if I can't fulfill something to the best of my ability, then I feel that it's time for me to step down. And so I did that. So I appreciate you, James. And I'm like you. I mean, I don't care. No, that's a lie. I do. I have a big ego. No, I'm just kidding. I just have a sense of humor, and it just has to sneak out. So I have to be funny. So I want to thank you for your kindness to me this evening and for inviting me and for allowing me to talk a little bit about how I started. And I'm sure I'll be back sometime, someday, somewhere, somehow, over the rainbow. And I want to say God bless to everyone. And for those that celebrate this upcoming Thanksgiving, please have a wonderful time with your family and take time every day, folks. Please notice what you have in your life. Give thanks. We are blessed people. We are the blessed ones. And if we all can take, in the grocery store, like James said, one moment, one ray of sunshine, one soft touch from a person we like, a phone call from a friend, whatever it is, be grateful, because gratitude is love.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'm going to, real quick, I'm going to pass it over to Natalie, but I did want to say, Maya, we totally understand. I mean, you need to take care of your life. You need to take care of your family. And as much as we love you and we want you here, we understand, too, that you have a life. So don't ever, you know, I just wanted to say that and affirm that you are always welcome. I am sure if you talk to Natalie, there's always an open door for you on the show. And I can't speak for Natalie, though. So, Natalie, you're going to have to take that one over. And I just wanted to say I love you to everyone on the site, and thank you for listening in. And I'll pass it on to Natalie.
Well, the door is very wide open for her, and I'm expecting her to return. Now, I talk to her all the time. We converse either in email or on the phone. And the winter time is going to be easier for her schedule and all of that. And I'm sure maybe once a month or whatever, I'll send her. You know what I'm going to do, James? I'm going to send her a list of the topics. So it's going to kind of like wet her whistle a little, and she's going to say, I'd kind of like to talk about that. But anyways, I'm sure she'll come back. I mean, maybe not every week. I don't expect that. But nonetheless, I do expect you back, Maya. Now, you know that. You're my Maya Moon, and that's the deal. So I won't take no for an answer. I want to thank everybody in the room tonight. And they're all saying we have missed you too, Maya. We have, of course, we have Priestess Candy in there as usual, and we had a bunch of guests tonight, Stars Mystical Waters, and our very new Stars, Ruby Ann. She came in tonight, and Mystical Waters just says, we love you, Natalie, James, and Maya, and of course, you too, Candy. Thank you for all you share with us, and really, you know, it is a wonderful thing that we have every single week, and we're spreading it all for everybody, and it really, really helps. I look forward to it. It's my chance to speak to James all the time, and usually it's Cheyenne that's on. She'll be on next week, but, you know, it's really nice. It's like a coffee clutch kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. I just love it. But tonight was very, very rewarding for me. I'm lucky I get to hear from Maya Moon all the time, so I get kind of spoiled, you could say. James, you are the most wonderful man I have ever known. I mean, truly, you know, I don't care what people say about you, honey. I love you dearly, and you can be on my ship anytime. And, so Maya, I'll be in touch with you. I'm not going to let you escape. I would never do that. And you can look over the list and whatever, and maybe even not till next year you might come back. It doesn't matter, but you're always welcome, of course. And I love everybody in the room. We had, actually, I will say this before we close, we had the largest turnout in the chat room and the largest turnout of callers tonight. I had 6 listening besides all of us. That is pretty good. It tells me something. It tells me. Should tell you something too, James. And you too, Maya. People like to hear about how other people, what they're about, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, how you got started. How did you do this? And, you know, James, I'm glad that you gave an hour to Maya. I think you guys could have went another half an hour. I mean, you know, I always have 90 minutes for the show because I always know that sometimes, you know, we just keep talking and talking, and we don't want to let it go. We don't want to really say goodnight. And but I guess we have to do that. And so with that, I guess I'll close the show. And Maya, I love you, and James, I love you, and everybody in the room, even the guests. I mean, they don't even know me, but I have so much love for everybody. And so everybody have a really good evening, okay?
Okay, and you're very
loved.
Thank
you. I love you.
I love you.
Yes, we love you, and thank you so much. It's been great, and yeah, I'll be back because I'm too much of a big mouth, and now that you told me the show, you had so many listeners, of course I'm going to think that's because of me, so now I have to come back.
See that? Do I know how to work it or what?
You do, girl. You
just
work it, girl.
I am so good at
everybody
what I do.
Can.
I mean, you guys have
everybody
to admit
can.
It. I'm really good. I am the best schmoozer. Even Tony tells me. He says, I do things that you want me to do on the spur of the moment, and I'll say to myself, no, why am I doing this? Why am I not waiting? This is not an emergency. Oh, because it's me, because I asked him. You know, but I, oh, can you kind of do damsel in distress? It works every time. So anyways, okay, everybody have a great evening. And we'll see you next week, okay? Love yous.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, love you all. Bye.
Love you, James. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.